If anybody. That was quick.
Yeah.
When I was in Israel, there was a sprint for the front. It never happened before. People were running.
I knew time was short, so I thought I'd act. My name's Blake, and I've asked this question now rather than tomorrow when I've got an appointment with you, maybe, because I thought it might benefit other people. How do you develop insight?
Oh. Haven't got a clue. Yeah.
And if you can, why should you?
Spontaneously. Yes. Yes. So there are conditions for the arising of insight, but we can't say, oh, Blake, in 2 minutes an insight's going to emerge. We can't make the insight come, can we? But we can provide silence and stillness and time for contemplation and being with nature.
The right conditions.
Yeah, so we can provide some of the primary conditions.
Supportive conditions. Immediacy.
The immediacy and
the internal stuff, yeah.
Yes.
But my other part of the question is, what is it an insight into?
Well, you should understand by now that we always put the question back to you.
Sure, but
so please tell me.
I've got some sort of understanding in a Buddhist context.
Okay, so please speak a little more about
that. You would have an insight into the Four Noble Truths,
yes.
And that you would understand my sort of primary school understanding of contingent arising. You know.
Mm-hmm.
In your own life, not just as a theoretical sort of model. But it's like you have that insight into, greed, anger, delusion, that sort of thing, or dukkha, or, all that sort of stuff. But it's like a so what type of experience to me. You know, I'm like that, but what do I do with that, you know? Maybe it isn't an insight. Maybe it's just a.
Okay. What is your most profound insight?
The connection with everybody.
Okay.
Yeah.
Please say more.
Well, that the idea of a separate me is kind of spurious. Wrong. It's not really. I can't at any point say. The parable about the chariot and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But in my own life, I know when I've accepted myself as more than just my narrative and my physical state, or when it's gone out further than that. That's when I've felt an insight. To other people, helping other people, or sharing with other people. That sort of stuff.
And can you give me a specific example of an insight that's occurred?
A domestic one would be my son has this huge stereo system that just shakes the mortars of the house when he has it on. And rather than just get, totally, fused by this, I talked to him, just as, he's 17, so he's more or less grown up, but, just in a sort of accepting way, in a gentle way, I guess, I think in a sharing way, you know, about what it does to me and my wife and, you know, all that sort of stuff, and the neighbours. You know, yeah.
You know. Okay.
And I gave him the stereo system, so I can't do it. Yeah.
You gave him the stereo system and said, no, don't use it.
I know. It seemed a good idea.
Yeah. And the insight is to...
Well, to be to reveal yourself more as vulnerable, is a much better place to come from than, you know, being bellicose, puffed up. You know.
Yes. Mm. So the place of authority as the father telling the son to turn down the stereo is not such a good place to come from. Mm. But if you say, "Oh, this is affecting how
that's
I
a,
am," today.
That's a very domestic one. But I mean. Mm.
I did so ask for the most profound one. So let's move on to another. Mm. You mentioned insight into the Four Noble Truths. Mm. Please, tell us.
Oh, well, I've known since adolescence that life is probably at basically unsatisfactory sort of experience. The second truth is that this one about clinging, you know, it's very hard. Like the lady who was up here before about romantic love, it's very easy to fall into that sort of thing, romantic love. And then the third one is that there is an end to that cycle, which is the...
So there is liberation.
Yep.
Please say a little about that.
Well, it's the middle way, you know, the...
Mm-hmm. So this truth is to be realised. Mm. And your question was, why would we want to have an insight?
Well, I know why I'm doing this rather than down at the beach and, you know,
okay,
having
and
fun.
Why is that?
Because I think... I believe in what the Buddha said in terms of that insight into the reason for our unsatisfactory experience is clinging, and that there is a way out of it, and that way is the eight, you know,
mm-hmm.
right viewpoint, right, you know, intention, speech, and action.
Yes. So that's why you would what? Set the conditions.
Set the conditions again. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Set the conditions. Yeah.
Mm.
Mm. So it's you're really saying to me, it's a matter of just setting the conditions and hanging in there.
Am I?
Mm.
I'm saying there is liberation, and the insight points to or reveals the truth of things. That way can be touched by truth.
Mm.
And the touch of truth transforms and frees and liberates the life. Mm. So you seem to have quite an understanding of the path.
Yeah.
The third noble truth, that is liberation, is to be realized. Do you understand it?
Do I understand that it is to be realised, or do I understand the truth?
Do you realise the third noble truth? Have you profoundly understood that?
Yeah, probably there's something holding out on that one, I'd say.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. To the truth be known.
Okay. All right, so let's explore the holding out. What's the little holding out? Because you clearly committed, you've read and understood and practiced, and you can speak very coherently about the noble truth and the path.
I think there's... I don't want to give up the passion, you know. It's that quote of Eliot, you know, the simplicity that costs everything, you know, that sort of I don't want to give up the fire that's me. You know, I don't want to, you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm.
Mm. When you say, I don't want to give up the fire that's me, what specifically about the me? You said passion. Passion in what way?
To stand alone, I guess.
What else? Do you mean passion in the sense that you have an idea that liberation is steady, bland, a bit flat and lacking passion? Mm. Okay.
Go down and die, you know.
That's the view. That's the clinging to the view of what it might be like to be awake. What does your experience tell you about insight and when you've had revelations? Because you obviously
well, you feel, you feel, you feel.
I feel
bigger. You feel, you know, you feel more connected. You know,
yes.
Yeah.
Couldn't that be the positive side of passion?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's true.
Yeah. So in that aliveness, there's a sense of adventure, of delight. The Buddha spoke about a pleasure that was unproblematic. When he was under the Bodhi tree, he remembered being a child and sitting under the rose apple tree and feeling the exquisite pleasure of just slipping into one of the absorptions or jhanas. And there is incredible delight and pleasure that isn't born of clinging. It's unproblematic.
I experienced that as a kid once.
Yes, yes, me too, and other people here as well. So, Buddhist, inverted commas, language is often a bit sort of boring and dry, and I guess I'd like to liven it up a bit, because, you know, boring and dry is not all that attractive to most of us.
Yeah,
and so I think that's what you're saying. You have a view about something, and you say, I don't want to give up passion, the fire, the joy. You don't have to.
Well, then the other part of it becomes quite scary, because to live that sort of life in the workaday life, or, you know, the outside, you know, rather than the hothouse of a retreat like this, it's very challenging. Extremely challenging sort of thing, I think.
Just to clarify what I said, when I said you don't have to give up the passion, it's the clinging that needs to be let go of, and then the wakeful heart is alive and passionate and full and joyful and free.
Yeah, I've been liking the way you've been using this term, bare attention.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, because it's a really nice way of just like a refined attention rather than a sort of bare hug of a thing, you know. So,
it's very light and fine and gentle. So, how would it be if you didn't hold back? You said there was a little bit of holding back.
Oh.
On the third noble truth. What would it take?
Well, I'd start to live more of the Eightfold Path.
And in practical terms, what would that mean? More expression of?
Oh, generosity, you know, I got a bit of a problem with loving kindness, but friendly respect.
The passionate man has a difficulty with love terms.
And compassion. Yeah. But I think the thing that makes it practical for me is like practical things like right speech. You know, in the workaday world, you know, I've really stopped listening to that negative sort of talk or generating that sort of negative talk or
participating in gossip.
Yeah, all that
hurtful speech,
all that stuff. Yeah. But bring more of those practical things into my life because I can understand those. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm. And in terms of your own heart, what would you express more?
Oh, love. Thank you.